Blog Talk Radio.
And friend, the Sand Tiger DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I'll discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. I hope everybody is enjoying their weekend, and I hope everybody's having a hope today finds you doing well. I got a little few things I gotta take care of right here. Give me a second. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio misbehaves a little bit, and I had to get things straightened out and whatever. Just give me a second. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Do, do, do. Like I said, I hope everybody's doing good today. Trying to get everything straightened out here. Everything's been kind of hectic. You know, it's been a big work week. It's been a big news week this week. And I don't know why is Blog Talk Radio been misbehaving so much here lately? I can't get my chat room up. I don't know what in the world is going on here. I don't know what's going on here. But anyway, everybody, welcome to the show. If you would like to be a guest to call in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284, and you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, trolling, excessive profanity, random insults, things of that sort, gaslighting. If you feel like you want to involve yourself in those type of activities, then I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, just be Just be agreeable. Way. You want respect, I'll give it to you. If you don't, well, tough noogies. But anyway, of course, you all probably know what the big news is for this week. And this is the, broadcasting of the January 6th taping. Apparently Tucker Carlson on Fox News, he's gotten some footage of the my goodness, I don't know why I can't get my words out now. He's gotten some footage of the January 6th, 2021 attack, so-called attack on the Capitol building back in 2021. And really what he was exposing is not much of a surprise to me, because a lot of this, I'm already during that event or that incident. And I already said that my wife and I, we watched it in real time. And we were like, you know, a lot of what the news media, the mainstream news media was saying about this thing, we were already like, well, we didn't see that because we were watching it on real time on C-SPAN. And a lot of this stuff, you know, that they were saying that, you know, police officers were being attacked and that, you know, it was a riot and they rushed into the building and all this and everything. This wasn't the case. But the powers that be, you know, the mainstream news media, one of the things that they understand is once they get their story out there, it's going to be very hard to dispute what they've already gotten out there, because a lot of people, you know, they're not about the truth. You know, they depend on people to feed them information. And so this is the reason why, you know, a lot of times you can show someone the truth right there in their face and they still want to believe the lie, because someone has already fed them the lie first and they want to stick to that story. And the news media understands that. So, okay, there, we got that one up. Good, good. And I got one more thing to pull up. Because if you all hear a lot of talking in the background, that's my wife once again. You know, she's talking to my play mother. Tucker Carlson, and see, this is the reason why I'm kind of looking kind of a little side-eyed at Fox News as well, because Tucker Carlson showed this footage on Monday night on Fox News, and that what is up with Fox News? Don't they want this stuff to be shown? Allow what really happened on January the 6th to be shown? And apparently they don't. But what Tucker Carlson was showing, you know, were people being led into the Capitol building. It wasn't a rush. It wasn't really what you would call a riot. You might have had some mini riots out there somewhere or whatever, but it wasn't the crowd by and large. I'd say 90% of that crowd was a peaceful crowd, like, you know, what you see with Black Lives Matter. You know, and the guy with the buffalo head, you know, he's sitting in jail for 4 years. Basically, the police led him in, basically gave him a tour of the place, you know. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute now, what is going? What are, you know? And the people are like, you know, well, this, you know, it was an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection, first of all. It wasn't an insurrection. And people want to make it like, oh, yeah, it was an insurrection, you know, Donald Trump and this and that and, that and everything. And that's the only reason why people want to make this story out to be what it isn't, simply because of Donald Trump, you know, the hatred for Donald Trump. They want to heap as much accusations against Donald Trump in order for, you know, them to carry out their plan, you know, in order for them to, you know, get rid of Donald Trump, get him out of the public sector and whatever, you know, and they want to say that Donald Trump incited the riot and all this crazy mess. Now, after seeing the footage that Tucker Carlson showed on Monday, there should be a cry right now going out that a lot of these people who are in jail, I think they say as many as 400 something people, if I'm correct, are in jail over that, you know, over that incident. Every last one of them should be freed from jail. Every last one of them. Because these people lied. They said, oh, five police officers died. One guy hit upside the head with a fire extinguisher and all this crazy mess. And none of that mess ever happened. None of it. But people still want to believe the lie. That's all they care about. They care about the story that got out there first. They want to believe the lie. They don't want to say, hey, well, maybe this didn't happen the way it did. You know, let's look into this thing. But so many people just want to hold on to what they have been told at first. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know why people are like that. I don't know why people are like, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to look into this thing a little deeper and figure this thing out. But once again, what they showed on the footage that was shown by Tucker Carlson, I wasn't surprised one bit, because I was like, shoot, a lot of this I've already seen. And now, you know, the people on the left, they're like, oh, we don't want to hear about January 6th. No. Keep that same energy, y'all. Keep that same energy. You just don't want to see the truth, because you're not about the truth. The truth cramps your style. The truth messes up your scheme. And so you all want to throw this stuff on, talking about, you know, Tucker Carlson got 44,000 hours of footage of January 6th. And I've actually heard people say for him to just pick out the parts he wants to. No, he's not picking out anything. Show me the part. Show me the police officers getting beat up by protesters. Show me people slipping in blood, like this one lady said. She was just slipping in blood. I mean, show it to me. I mean, someone please pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. But when I saw this, I said, you know what? This is no surprise to me. I was not surprised at all. I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, look at this. I seen the footage of police officers tearing down the barriers, telling people, come on, come on. I seen the footage of police officers inside the Capitol building, opening up the building, waving people into the building. I seen the footage of the Buffalo guy walking into the Capitol building while he's being while there's a Capitol police officer walking behind him, not doing anything, no confrontation. He goes into the Senate chamber, into the Chamber of Commerce or whatever, the Senate chamber, and he sits down and he prays for the police officers. But of course, they're not going to show you. They don't want to show you that. They're not going to show you that on the mainstream media, because once again, it messes up their scheme, because they have a scheme They have a scheme in place in order to make sure that Donald Trump does not get reelected in 2024. And that's all that this is about. That's all it's about. And when you try to show this to certain people and everything, they say, no. That was a riot. It wasn't a riot. It was not a riot. You might, like I said, there might have been some mini riots around. He might have had some confrontations here and there and whatever. But by and large, it wasn't a riot. And see, people seem to not want to compare this to the Black Lives Matter riots that caused about $2 billion of damage in 2020. They seem to ignore that. They ignore that. But they jump on this, you know, and I'm going to tell you, Nancy Pelosi, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all the rest of them, they need to go to jail because all this was a big setup. All January 6, 2021 was a big setup. And then they come, and then, you know, the news pundits come in, they say, oh, this was worse than 9-11. This was worse than Pearl Harbor. This was worse than the Civil War. Bull crap. This incident was tame in comparison. It was tame. I'll tell you one thing. It was tame in comparison to those riots that I just mentioned back in 2020. But nobody wants to look at that. Nobody wants to face up to that. I do not trust the news service. I don't care if you are Fox or anybody. I really don't have much trust in you. Because even Fox News seems to be going on this path where, you know, if we can't beat them, let's join them. Instead of sticking to their guns and doing the right thing for the American people and making sure the truth gets out there, you know. Because Fox News, for so many years, they've been demonized, not simply because they were conservative, but they basically wanted to show you both sides of the story. And see, the liberals, they had a chokehold on the news media for so many decades. When Fox News came in and started showing things from a different perspective, that's when people start, oh, Fox News, they don't like black people. Fox News doesn't like foreigners. Fox News. And instead of sticking to their guns, Fox News, a lot of people on Fox News don't even report this footage that Tucker Carlson has gotten a grab of. When you go on the 5 and certain of those shows on Fox News, they don't even make mention of it. How in the world you going to go to Newsmax and they give you more footage of what Tucker Carlson was showing on Fox than Fox News does? They talk about it more than Fox did. And this is why I'm like, you know, once in the news media, always in the news media, you know. The news media is supposed to be the friend of the American people, but it is the number one enemy of the American people. Because they know they wield the power to get you to think a certain way. They know they have the power of the edit and the clips and everything, and they can get you to think a certain way. And that's the reason why they do this type of stuff. And not only that, and I'm going to go out on a venture and say this, I really do believe that they believe that so many of us are so stupid that we can throw something out there, throw a piece of meat out there, and everybody will gnaw on it and without realizing, hey, wait a minute, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, I know what they're saying. I know what they're throwing at us, but let's look into it. Let's check this out before we, you know, make an opinion on it. They know there are a lot of people out there who are intellectually deprived. They'll just accept anything that is that that is fed to them. So I wasn't surprised when I saw that footage. I was like, well, dog, I've seen a lot of this already. And the thing that I go on is me and my wife, we were watching the so-called insurrection in real time. We sat there and watched it. I was like, I don't see no riot. I don't see a riot. And then you had the footage of people saying, admonishing the Capitol Police and saying, what are you all doing? This is a Capitol building. Why aren't y'all doing your jobs? And the Capitol Police just standing there. But, it was an insurrection brought on by Donald Trump. Anyway, that's enough I'm going to say about that anyway. So there were two subjects I really wanted to talk about today. And doggone it, where the heck is my chat page? Blog Talk, is y'all doing this again? I can't get my chat page up. But there were two subjects I wanted to talk about today. And both of these, well, one of these comes from a source that I like to read every now and then called the Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit, I will recommend them. Their news seems to be pretty even. It seems to be pretty balanced and whatever. Gateway Pundit, what is the other one? The Epic Times, One America News, I would recommend them to, because their reporting seems to be pretty fair. Whenever I come and visit these sites, their reporting seems to be pretty fair. But you all know our good old buddy Colin Kaepernick is back in the news again. Our good old buddy. This, of course, those of you all don't know who Colin Kaepernick is. He's a one-time starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He led them to a Super Bowl, almost won the thing. And for some reason after that, it seemed like his production seemed to waver off, seemed to be on the wane. And so Colin Kaepernick lost his starting job and he got benched. 2016, they're playing the national anthem and Colin Kaepernick gets down on one knee saying he cannot stand for the flag of a country that oppresses black people. And this started a somewhat revolution in not only the NFL, but the sports world, period. You know, because people are like, well, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, black people this and black people that. And here's the thing about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is a millionaire. And he's talking about black oppression. And when someone called him out on it, he was like, well, I know I'm well off, but there are other black people ain't well off. I'm like, well, dude, that's like that. That's the story of every race. There are white people that are well off. But not all of them are. Hispanics, Orientals, all the rest of them. He's back in the news now because let me say something about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, when he was born, he was the product, he was the biological product of a black parent and a white parent. They didn't want to take care of him, so he was, I guess he was put into foster care, and lo and behold, here come these two white folks, come down, swoop down, and, you know, adopted him. And they raised him. I'm not all keen on where he went to school at or anything like that, but he went to college. He got drafted into the NFL, took his team to the Super Bowl, almost won the Super Bowl. But these were two white folks that raised him because his original parents couldn't raise him, whatever reason they had for not raising him. This included the black parent that he had. Now, one thing I despise is when someone does something good for you, they pull out all the stops and they say, you know what, we're going to make a sacrifice for you. You're not our child, but we're just going to make all these sacrifices and we're going to do this for you. We're going to be the best parents to you that we can. And we put you, you know, put you on the road to success and all this and everything. And then you turn around and turn your back on them. This is what Colin Kaepernick is doing to his adoptive parents. And this article is from March 9th of this week, March 9th, 2023. And it says, Colin Kaepernick lashes out at white adoptive parents, accuses them of perpetuating racism. Now think about that for a while, people. They come, adopt a little, and I'm not even going to call Colin Kaepernick a black kid. He's mixed. And I don't understand why these kids that are a product of a black and a white parent always want to lean to the black side. Colin Kaepernick is not black, but he says he accuses them of perpetuating racism. Now these are people who came in, adopted his ungrateful butt, probably allowed him to go to some of the best schools. Of course, he went to college, made it to the NFL. But he wants to accuse his parents of perpetuating racism. An article starts out in bold print, what a pig. Yeah, he is. Colin Kaepernick lashed out at his adoptive parents in an interview on Thursday. Kaepernick was discussing his upcoming book, obviously ghostwritten. Colin Kaepernick is famous for kneeling during the national anthem and praising Marxist dictator Fidel Castro. Oh, I didn't know about that. I didn't know he praised Fidel Castro. Wow. Kaepernick shows his adoptive parents as much respect as he shows his country. Fox News reported, Kaepernick talked about coming to terms with his racial identity while growing up in a white family in his new graphic novel, Change the Game. The former football player recalled disagreements with his parents that he attributed to racism, calling his upbringing problematic. Wow, okay. I know my parents loved me, but there were still very problematic things that I went through, the biracial quarterback said to CBS News. I think it was important to show that, no, this can happen in your own home, and how we move forward collectively while addressing the racism that is being perpetuated, he added. Kaepernick illustrated one specific example of this in the novel, depicting a fight he had with his parents during high school over his hairstyle. Fired to braid his hair in cornrows like his hero, NBA star Allen Iverson, that's a role model for you. Kaepernick recalled receiving pushback from his parents. He's getting what roles his mom says in the graphic novel. Kaepernick said that after styling his hair this way, his mom warned his hair was not professional and he looked like a little thug. Now, I've seen a lot of people with these hairstyles. They are little thugs. But the article stops there. So Colin Kaepernick is basically calling out his adoptive parents because they didn't want him wearing cornrows. Forget the fact that they allowed this boy into their house to eat their food, sleep under their roof, drink their water, use their electricity and everything. But, oh, They didn't like my hairstyle, so that means they were racist. You know, this hair thing, you know, a lot of people, they say they've been in schools and stuff, and, you know, they were told to change their hairstyle, you know, like they're in school or in a job, and they say, okay, we don't want you wearing that hairstyle. They start saying, oh, that's racist, that's racist. This is my natural look. No, cornrows and braids and twists are not natural. That might be a cultural type of thing that you're going through, but they're not natural. And by the way, if you're at a job or whatever, and they telling you to change your hairstyle, just change your hairstyle. Don't be throwing all this, oh, that's racist, that's racist, that's racist. No, it's not racist. They have a certain look that they're looking for, and they want you to play the part. They want you to know the part. Look, if you don't like that job talking about your hair, then find you a job that'll accept your hair, okay? But even here with Colin Kaepernick and his parents, Colin, you're under your parents' authority. If they say they don't want you wearing your hair in a certain style, then guess what? You should listen to your parents. And this isn't just between white parents and black parents. A lot of black parents with black kids, they go through the very same thing. The kids find some type of new style and whatever. And they, like when I was coming up, when in the 80s, there was a trend that went around where kids didn't want to tie their shoes. They wanted to walk around with their shoestrings untied. And my brother, he was one of those type of people who liked to follow with the fads and everything. I didn't like the fads. I wasn't for style and fads. But my brother, as hard-headed as he was, you know, he was like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. So he walked around with his shoestrings untied. And one day, we were at the zoo in Washington, D.C., and my dad just happened to look down and say, hey, how come your shoes ain't tied? My dad didn't like it at all. My mom was trying to calm the situation down, you know. Oh, that's just the style that they have and everything, you know, whatever. And my dad was like, no, you're going to tie your shoes. Now, I kept mine tied. I wasn't for the style and everything, you know, stuff like that. But this ain't just a white on black thing. This goes on between black parents and their kids. Hispanic parents and their kids, Asian parents and their kids. But ain't it funny that this guy, not even his black parent wanted to take care of him. He gets taken in by these two white people who feel the need to provide love and support for an orphan child. He brings them up. They bring him up in their household, and he meets all kinds of success. And then one day, because he wants to race bait, basically, he wants to throw his adoptive parents under the bus. The people who took care of him and made him the man that he is today. I heard a story like this. I used to watch this. I still watch this show called American Greed. And it portrayed the life of one Rumeal Johnson. I think that's his name, Rumeal Johnson. He played with the University of Michigan back in the 90s. I think it was 1990. And they actually won the national championship in college. Now, Rumeal, his actual mother said, I don't want him. I don't want this kid. Dropped him off at a foster home. And she said, I don't want this kid. And so this lady, she and her husband, they were black. Rumeal Johnson is black himself. They took him in and said, okay, we're going to take you in. And they groomed this boy. You know, raise him as their own son. He gets into college. He becomes part of a national championship team, and he got caught up in a lot of bad investments. I'm not going to go into detail what those investments were, but it turned out that he, behind his mother's back, put her house up for collateral for some loan he wanted to get, and she got evicted from her home, a home that she had already paid for. He turned his back on his parents. They even had a street named after him, you know, because, you know, he helped his team win the national championship. But now this woman was getting kicked out of her home that she had already paid for. And then when he was exposed for his dirt, he was like, she didn't have to take me in. And I was like, that ungrateful little rascal. The word I wanted to use was stronger, but I don't use that language anymore. But I was like, this ungrateful little rascal, are you kidding me? This woman, your actual mother didn't even want to raise you. She didn't even want to acknowledge that you were her son. And here comes this lady with a big heart, comes in, takes you in, and raises you, feeds you, clothes you, gets you ready for college, and then you turn your back on them like that. There's a word I have for people like that. It's called scum. But here's Colin Kaepernick basically doing the same thing, throwing his adopted parents under the bus for some race favor or something like that. Because, you know, he wants to call them racist because, you know, they didn't like his hair. Now, a lot of these guys that wear these cornrows, when you see them, a lot of them are little thugs. So let's just get that straight. And there are black parents that don't like their kids getting cornrows because it makes them look like little thugs. So it's not a race thing. But out of all the, you know, stuff he went through when he was growing up and whatever, he wants to point at this and say his parents were racist. And just like the article starts off saying, what a pig, describing Colin Kaepernick. Yes, he is a pig. He is detestable. And after throwing his parents up under the bus like this, I really don't have anything much nice to say about Colin Kaepernick. The only thing I can say good about Colin Kaepernick is when he was in that Super Bowl, I was rooting for the 49ers because I don't like the Ravens. But I was rooting for the 49ers. And dude almost led the 49ers to a victory. I don't like being around ungrateful people. I really don't. I do not like being around ungrateful people. This is a problem I have with black people, mainstream black America today, because a lot of them are very ungrateful. You're living in the best country in the world. You got more opportunities than any country on this planet. And you want to sit there and talk about how bad this country is and how racist this country is and how black people can't get ahead because a white man got this. You are living in the best country in the world with the same opportunities any white person has. But you're not grateful. I'd have to say that is my number one drawback with liberal black America. This is crazy mess, people. And, you know, and while we're on the NFL, you know, people always crying about, oh, we need more black coaches. They're talking about Eric Bieniemy, who used to be one of the coaches with the Kansas City Chiefs, and everyone's like, how come he's not a head coach? How come he's not a head coach? I bet you I know why. Because he's black. Wait a minute. Tony Dungy, wasn't he black? The Pittsburgh Steelers coach, ain't he black? Cincinnati Bengals, they had a black coach. But they want to sit here and talk about how come we ain't got more black coaches. Well, maybe more black coaches didn't qualify for that coaching position. But you're talking about an organization that is 75% black, and you wanna cry foul over, you know, how few black coaches there are in the NFL, but you got a bunch of black millionaires running all over the NFL. And you know, this type of attitude, it has permeated every aspect of our country. Even when you talk about the Academy Awards, people are talking about, you know, there are certain movies that got snubbed because they were black. You know, that movie Woman King, that lying movie. Because, you know, that's a black woman in there. She need to get an Oscar. Well, don't you all have your own awards program? BET Awards and NAACP Image Awards and everything. Ain't you happy with that? I mean, for real, aren't you happy with that? You know, you got your black awards and everything. And I guarantee you, ain't no white people winning those awards at your awards programs. You want people to call you racist? Oh yeah, that's right. Black people can't be racist. Silly me. Silly me. But see, this is the type of stuff that is causing the ruin of this country. Political correctness and this woke culture is going to be the death of this country if we continue to let it spread unchecked. We'll point out the faults of one group of people, but we ignore the faults of another group of people for the very same thing. We want to sit there and talk about how evil the white people are and what they do to black people. But when someone points out what black people are doing to each other, oh, no, that's just a diversion. No, it's not a diversion. It's a comparison. And it needs to be made so that a bunch of the liberal mainstream black America can shut up. And we always hearing about how racist the white people are and, you know, the white supremacists and, oh, they're coming out here and they're always holding. Okay, can someone tell me within the past 30 years, I'll even give you some slack. Within the past 30 years, how many black people have fallen at the hands of white supremacists? Someone please tell me. Someone tell me. And while you're thinking about that, I want to pull up a little incident that I just learned this past Monday. I did not know about this at all. And you all, please forgive my ignorance, because I had never, to my knowledge, I had never heard about this incident. This incident took place in San Francisco in 1974, or around 1974, from 1973 to 1974. Some people take this incident back as far as 1970. How many of you all out there have ever heard of the Zebra Murders? I never heard about these. I never heard about these murders until this past Monday. And, you know, I'm just perusing, you know, the internet and whatever. And that's usually when I get into trouble. And I come across this, and I said, the zebra murders. And, well, I pulled this article from Wikipedia. And it says the zebra murders were a string of racially motivated murders and related attacks committed by a group of four serial killers in San Francisco, California, United States, from October 1973 to April 1974. They killed at least 15 people and wounded 8 others. Police gave the case the name Zebra after the special police radio band they assigned to the investigation. Some authorities believe that the Death Angels, as the perpetrators called themselves, may have killed as many as 73 or more victims since 1970. Criminology professor Anthony Walsh wrote in a 2005 article that the San Francisco-based Death Angels may have killed more people in the early to mid-1970s than all the other serial killers operating during that period combined. 40 dudes. In 1974, a worker at the warehouse where the Death Angels were based testified to police for a reward, providing private details about the murders. Based on his evidence, 4 men were arrested in connection with the case. They were convicted in a jury trial of first-degree murder and conspiracy charges and sentenced to life imprisonment. The informant received immunity from prosecution for his testimony and was admitted to a witness protection program for him and his family. Folks, please forgive me. I have never heard about this case until this past Monday. Now, nobody's going to point at these guys and say, oh, that was racist. Y'all killing those white people like this. And that's exactly what they were targeting, white folks. The attacks, 1973, on October 20th, 1973, Richard Haig, 30, and his wife, Quita, 28, were abducted at gunpoint and forced into a van while walking from their Telegraph Hill home in San Francisco. Quita Haig's body was found nearly decapitated 4 miles away on a railroad track. Richard Haig, who had been beaten unconscious, was later found wandering near her body with his hands bound and his head and face slashed. He was able to give police a description of the attackers, describing them as 3 young black men in a white van. Oh, he must be racist because he called out their skin color. Oh, my gosh, the racist. The description matched an earlier abduction attempt of 3 boys ages 11 to 15. On October 30th, 1973, Frances Rose, 28, was shot repeatedly in her car near the University of California Extension. A witness to the shooting said a man sitting in the passenger seat shot Rose and then jumped out of her car. The man was identified as Jesse Lee Cooks, and he was arrested shortly after. On November 9th, 1973, Robert Wayne Stock, I guess that's Stockman, 27, was shot by Leroy Doctor. Just before the shooting, Stockman, for Pacific Gas and Electric Company, was on duty picking up paperwork from various projects when a well-dressed man asked him for directions to a filling station. The man then pushed Stockman behind a fence and pulled out a .32 caliber revolver, shooting him in the neck. He survived the attack, took the gun away from the man, and shot him 3 times in the arm, shoulder, and stomach. Leroy Doctor was arrested and sentenced to a term of 9.5 years to life in prison. And they just keep going on. Salim Erekat, Paul Dancik, Art Agnes, Ilario Bertuccio. Now, these people were all targeted These people were all targeted because they were white. Now, this incident happened in from 1973 to 1974, and they believed the murders may have extended as far back as 1970. And they arrested four young men. J.C. Simon, 29, Larry Green, 22, Manuel Moore, 23, Dwight Stallings, 28. Oh, wait a minute. Initially, it was eight of them who were arrested, but four were released due to lack of evidence. So J.C. Simon, Larry Green, Manuel Moore, and Dwight Stallings were the ones who were convicted. Thomas Manny, Edgar Burton, Clarence Jameson. Let's see, wait a minute. They were released due to lack of evidence. But see, we always talk about, you know, white supremacy and what the white supremacists are doing and that they're a terrorist organization and all this. What about the Death Angels in San Francisco in the 1970s? We don't hear much about them, do we? I wonder why. And I'm telling you, maybe Pianchi or Sarge may have heard of this. Folks, I'm telling you, I have never heard of this case ever. Before Monday. And I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. But we always want to concentrate on white on black crime, but we don't want to concentrate on black on white crime because, you know, that doesn't look good. That makes us look like we're racist. And we don't want to be seen as racist because racism carries a negative stigma with it. And see, this is the reason why I think, I strongly believe that our news media is the number one enemy of the American people. They're supposed to be the friend of the American people. When the founding fathers made mention of freedom of the press, there was a reason why they did that. It was because the press was supposed to keep the government on its toes. The press was supposed to keep the government honest. But I don't think the founding fathers actually saw the bad turn that the news media would take in the future. And I'm pretty sure if they had seen it, if they had understood what was going to happen, they wouldn't have given them this freedom of the press that they have given them. And we all know the power of the news media, the way they can get you to think a certain way. We realized this back in, I think it was 1937 with War of the Worlds, October of 1937. And the news media knows the power that it wields. They know what they are doing. And see, they know there are people who are intellectually lazy, who are not going to check them out on their stories. And so that's why they put these stories out. I watched I need to finish watching it. I was watching a movie that piqued my interest because I read the book to this movie this past week called The Trayvon Hoax. Y'all remember Trayvon Martin? Trayvon, you know, one of the things that messed up this entire case, and it's still messed up today, is how the media, the news media, portrayed this incident. When the news media first reported on this incident, they said it was a white man attacked a black kid with Skittles and an iced tea for no reason at all. When we finally found out who the perpetrator, the person was that killed Trayvon Martin, His name was George Zimmerman, white sounding name, but when I saw his picture, I was like, that guy looked like a Hispanic to me. He don't look white to me. And they wanted to change it over and say, oh, he was a white Hispanic. Because they knew the gig would be up. They had already gotten their initial story out there. So this is the reason why it became a race type of thing. And not only that, turns out that Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, everyone thought was testifying at the jury of at the case of George Zimmerman, that wasn't his girlfriend. That wasn't even his girlfriend. That was someone who was sitting in place of his actual girlfriend. But if you're under the sound of my voice, I would advise you to watch the Trayvon hoax. If you can't watch it, get the book. Because I read the book about 3 or 4 years ago. And your mind will be blown at the information in that story. But the news media played all of us. Michael Brown, same thing. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. News media played that up. And you still have people today who still believe that Michael Brown was on his knees with his hands up and Darren Wilson just came and just piled bullets into his brain. People still believe that to this day. This is why I tell people there's no reason for us to be mentally lazy. We got this stuff on YouTube. The information is out there for our gleaning, but a lot of us, we just want to sit there and say, okay, well, you know, that's what the news media said, so they must be telling the truth. These rascals are not about the truth. All they are about is getting a good news story out there so their ratings can go up and they can get paid as a result. That's all the news media is out there for now. That's all they're out there for. They don't care about getting the truth out there. They'll even tell you, we don't care about the truth. Care about a good news story. And then those out there who do their job that the media is supposed to be doing, they get demonized for it because their narrative doesn't sit well with the talking points from mainstream news media. But anyway, I am going to stop it right there and put on some of the ads and whatever. And when I come back, we will continue on and possibly get to our phones. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. High in the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company was hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with High in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
back to the show, everybody. If you would like to be a guest, call into the show. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I think somebody has released the fruit bats. Everybody, that's my fruit bat alarm. You all know what the deal is. That means if you're on the phones and you want to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, random insults, trolling, things of that sort, you best hang up right now, because if you don't, I will be more than happy to oblige you. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your conversation on this program. Anyway, let me get this first caller.
Hey, business.
Hey, what's up now?
What's going on, man?
Everything's going good, man. I feel like I'm off track today. It feels like I can't get my stories out like I want to today, because I don't know what it is with me today.
Well, that's okay. As long as you accumulate your stories so they can go in your critical race theory book.
I know that's right.
You know, like these savages, the zebra killers, it was a bunch of savages. It's what they were.
Yeah.
There's no other description for them. A bunch of black savages.
Tell me this: Have you heard of that? Have you heard of that case before? I won't be surprised if you have.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna tell you one you ain't heard of. Have you ever heard of Samuel Little?
Who?
Samuel Little.
No.
He's a black man. He is listed as the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history. In his own words, he killed over 93 women.
Okay, you know what? I might need to look into that too.
93 women. He had a fascination about women with long necks. He strangled them.
What?
Yeah, Samuel Little, a little black man, round-headed. Kind of looked like a chimp a little bit.
Goodness. Oh, man. Now, that's a new one to me. That, you know, and like I said before, forgive my ignorance, some of these cases I've never heard of before.
Then you had the Williams case in Atlanta. Don't you remember that one? He killed over 27 people in 21 months.
I don't know. You know.
You don't know him?
I don't know about that. Well, I've heard of those are the Atlanta murders, the child murders. That one there, I'm not so sure that he murdered the children. I think he murdered the teenagers and the young adults. I'm not so sure he murdered the children. I don't know. You know, I just don't know. but yeah, I remember that very well back in that was in 1981, 1982, the Atlanta child murders, Wayne Williams.
He killed them. And then you had, there's about 10 top black serial killers of all time. See, I keep telling y'all, them Africans didn't get rid of them people for nothing. You hear me?
I tell you.
Africans did not get rid of them people for nothing. And surely if they were artisans and master builders like they put this false claim on it, you ain't getting rid of somebody like that.
No. Someone of value, you're not going to get rid of them like that, you know. And, of course, I know some people going to be out there listening to us now talking about, listen to y'all talking about the black race. Look, we're just stating the facts here.
You couldn't talk about it if it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you got some idiots talking about going against Tucker Carlson saying that, well, what we see ain't true. Well, this surveillance video never been seen before, damn it.
I mean,
and you got
real.
A committee being led by a known separatist, Benny Thomas, who was a member, sympathizer of the Republic of New Africa, who won 5 states.
Yep.
Engaged in shootouts with police officer killers, I think a Philadelphia police officer. How in the hell are you going to have somebody like that leading an investigation?
I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell you something else. One of the most saddest things I've heard lately is when this Marine that was there when the 13 soldiers got killed, when Joe Biden and his blundering, he had the damn suicide bomber in his skull. He was an assassin.
See?
He had him in his crosshairs.
Mm.
And they called to get permission to go ahead and kill him. And he never could get the permission.
Mm.
He couldn't stop those 183 that was killed during the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yep. But they want to blame
and
it on
lost,
Trump. They blame.
He's testifying. He lost a leg and arm. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's crazy mess, man. And I was also looking at the footage from January the 6th, and there were some other incidents that went on during that day that I did not know about, of course, because the media covered it up. I didn't know there was a Trump supporter who got beaten 40 times in the face by Capitol Police with their fists and batons, and she was pushed into the U.S. Capitol tunnel. I didn't know about that incident. Or let me pull up this other one. Trump supporter Roseanne Boylan is gassed, smothered, and beaten by police officer Lila Morris, and then dies on the steps of the U.S. Capitol as Capitol Police continued their assault on Trump protesters. Oh, wait a minute.
It was a black female that beat her.
I thought it was 5 police officers that got murdered that day. I didn't know about this lady getting killed.
Oh, yeah. They got it on video. A black female beat it with a 2x4 or something.
Yeah.
She needed to be put to death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, you got to be kidding me. And then they tried to cover it up and say the woman died of an overdose. Oh, okay. Said one guy was on a second story ledge and a Capitol Police officer came up behind him and pushed him off the ledge trying to kill him.
See, they don't talk about, and Sarge can tell you about this. He's out there, let him in. They don't talk about the number of FBI agents, CIA agents that was involved in that. They only want them from the back.
Oh, yeah.
Bring Sarge in there.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Hopefully this is him.
It ain't too many left like Sarge, I'm going to tell you right now.
I tell you, we need a clone Sarge. We need to clone that rascal boy. Hey,
well, thanks a lot for them there kind words, brothers. My brothers from another mother. Thank you very much. But you know, look here, Vince. You know, every phone call I like to open up with a crack about the fruit bats. But this time I'm not going to do it. You want to know why? Because right now we got the fruit bats on the run because we got them zeroed in. We are firing for effect, and they're scattering all over the place. I don't need to say nothing about fruit bats right now because they're not in immediate danger. So I'm not going to mention anything about fruit bats. But look here, man. I want to kind of glom on to what you just got through saying. about, you know, the serial killer thing, I'd like to bring your attention and Brother Bianchi to Nation of Yahweh sect leader Yahweh Ben Yahweh, who had a black supremacist cult around which he built his following. He was convicted of conspiracy to murder and decapitate seven people in the 1990s in Miami, Florida. Okay? Convicted now.
Mm-hmm.
And let me talk about black serial killers now. And I'm not going to talk about, you know, just people that might have been. I'm talking about people that went to trial and were convicted of serial killing. Now, all of these people are black. And I use the word people because they ain't all men. One of them is Harrison Graham. He killed seven people in Pennsylvania area from 1986 to 1987. Of course, you know about Wayne Williams. That's 24 in Atlanta. Samuel Little, actually, Pionke, they now implicate him with maybe 100 murders, definitely linked him to 45, and maybe as many as 100. Charles Lindell Carter, in Atlanta, Georgia, five people, 2004, 2006. Henry Lewis Wallace, Barnwell, South Carolina, 11 people, 1992 to 1994. Man, we're talking about convictions now. Deborah Brown, unusual because it's a woman, that's white or black, that's kind of unusual. But Deborah Brown was convicted, was born in Waukegan. She did in with her boyfriend, Alton Coleman, eight people from 1984, May of 1984 to July of 1984. Then you got Matthew Emmanuel Macon. He got six victims from 2004 to 2007. You got Chester Turner in Arkansas, 15 people in a crime span going from 1987 to 1998. You got Benjamin Atkins, Detroit, Michigan, 11 victims in a crime span in a span from 1991 to 1992. Darren Vann in Indiana, 18 people from 2013 to 2014. See, what's another one? Anthony McKnight, five people, 85 to 86. Derek Todd Lee, 11 people, 1992 to 2003. Lonnie Frank Jr., 25 people, 25. Los Angeles, California, crime span from 1985 to 2007. Shelley Andre Books, 20 people in Detroit from 2001 to 2006. Roberta Elder, again, a woman. Check this out. 14 serial killers from crime span from 1938 to 1952. She might have been born in 1907. She kind of goes back a little ways, but she's one of them, too. Lorenzo Gilliard, 13 people from 1997 to 1993. Paul DeRusso, seven people from 1997 to 1993. Carl Eugene Watts, maybe 100 people. He was born in Killeen, Texas. His crime spanned from 1974 to 1982. Prostitutes and others. Craig Price, 1987 to 1989. He got 13 people. And we're talking about convictions now. Mark Goudeau in Arizona, nine people. I mean, black serial killers are overrepresented. Now, they're not in absolute numbers. They're not the most among ethnic groups. That still belongs to whites. But percentage-wise, they are overrepresented among the likely population of people who usually turn out to be serial killers, which, of course, is men between the ages of 25 and 50. That's the serial killer age, generally. And black serial killers are overrepresented in that population group. And I'm really glad to hear you mention the Trayvon hoax, but I'd like to remind folks, for me, the most astonishing thing about the Trayvon hoax was the fact that Benjamin Crump and that team there down in Florida manufactured a counterfeit witness. Remember? A woman on the stand as a witness to obtain a grand jury indictment against George Zimmerman, who was not the one that was on the phone with Trayvon Martin that night. It was the witness's half-sister, Rachel Jontel. The actual witness was Diamond Eugene, who got the hell out of town because she didn't want to be involved with the mess.
Exactly.
And he located her and found her and got handwriting evidence from the note she sent to the mother. He got DNA from both Chantel and Eugene. He got her to admit it all, but admit it on camera that she was the one who was the witness that night. And they were trying to get her to come up here and manufacture a story. She didn't want to be involved with it, so she just left down. And so since they couldn't get her, they substituted her half-illiterate sister who couldn't even read cursive or write cursive.
Yeah. And the thing about that, too. That was
about it to me.
Yeah. That thing really blew my mind when I read the book about 4 years ago. I was like, oh, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me this was a fake witness?
and got away with it, man. I've heard of suborning perjury before. That's nothing new. But to manufacture a witness and put them on the stand, both in the grand jury and in the criminal trial, that I had never heard of before.
I had never seen some mess like that. I said,
let me go on a little bit further, if I may, about Jacob Chance in particular with the January 6th footage that came out. Now, there are two things that are even worse than what that tape shows. This man was clearly peaceful, committed no violence whatsoever. The worst you could have charged him with, based on evidence, is maybe trespass. But even then, that is mitigated by a little thing called entrapment by estoppel. Now, we're all familiar with the concept of entrapment, which means a suspect or a person in an investigation, or anyone for that matter, is induced to commit a crime by a law enforcement agent or someone working for the law enforcement, and they induce them to commit a crime to provide a pretext for either an investigation or an arrest. And that the person would otherwise not have committed the crime without the inducement or the incentive. That's regular entrapment. Then there's another kind of entrapment. It's called entrapment by estoppel. And that's when you rely upon the actions, words, directions of a figure whom you should reasonably believe has knowledge to know that what you are directing to do is illegal, but they direct you to do it anyway for whatever reason. And you rely upon their word or their assurance that what you're doing is okay. And then later on, you are prosecuted after you rely upon the directions or the guidance, advice of this official. For instance, let's say I pull you over in a car when I was still a trooper, right? Pull you over. I tell you, and you know something? I want to get you. I want to arrest you for something. I ain't got nothing to get you because I ain't got no probable cause to search your car. You're not a suspect. You're not wanted for anything. I ain't got no PC whatsoever. But I want to get you. But I know from past dealing with you that you smoke marijuana. He probably got some that I can't smell because you ain't been smoking it in the car, and he got it hidden in the car somewhere. But I ain't got no probable cause search. So I say, hey, you know, I just passed a law last week in the General Assembly, and it's now legal to smoke marijuana. So, you know, if you want to relax, you want to toke up, you go ahead and toke up right now while I'm just running your plate, and you can relax. So it's okay with me to go ahead and because it's legal now. And you're relying upon my word. Of course, I'm not saying anybody would actually do that. Who knows? Some people are dumb enough, I guess. But you know, you rely upon my word. You smoke marijuana. You got it. I say, aha, I got you for illegal possession of cannabis. Okay, and I arrest you. That would be entrapment by estoppel. Okay? Now, Jacob Chansley was walking around the building, being escorted by Capitol Police officers, going from one room to the other, passing Capitol Police officers in the hallway, standing there watching him going back and forth to all these other places. Nobody's interfering with him. And not only that, we've got video of him on Rumble. They released it on Rumble. I don't know if he did this before he went into the Capitol building or after, but he's outside with a microphone. You can see him saying, "The president wants us to go home. Most of you should go home. Respect the Capitol. Respect our monuments. Respect the police officers." He said, you can see him. I'm going to put a link to it in the chat room so you can go watch it for yourself. Then there's another video where he's in the Senate chambers praying that people be divided and have grace and respect the police and respect the Capitol and all this other stuff. Same thing like he did outside on the megaphone. Now, there's a little legal requirement from the Supreme Court. It's called Brady versus Maryland. It's a 1963 criminal case. And the Supreme Court ruled that the prosecution is obligated. They have no choice. They shall. This is an imperative. They must do. If they have in their possession exculpatory evidence, which means evidence that tends to acquit or show that the defendant in a case is not guilty, they are obligated, they have no choice, to give it to the defense and make them aware of it. And if they willfully don't provide it, and it can be shown they did it willfully, they can be subject to sanction, even criminal sanction, depending upon the laws in the state or whatever the circumstances are. So here you got this information that was withheld from Jacob Chansley, and it's a clear Brady violation, clear Brady, to say nothing of all the other exculpatory evidence that shows this man is innocent of a crime. And what's the worst part of it is that apparently this guy had the worst defense counsel in the universe, because part of this plea agreement, after the government told him, we can lock you away for 20 years for seditionist activity and insurrection and terrorism if you don't plead guilty. And so he pled guilty in 4 years, something he wasn't even guilty for, almost 4 years, 41 months,
yeah,
for something he wasn't guilty of. And then after pleading guilty, part of the plea agreement is that he can't appeal anything. So he's kind of locked into it, although I think the offenses of the prosecution here are so egregious that I think a court might be willing to overturn the verdict, declare a mistrial or whatever, and send it back for a new trial. And I don't believe they would dare try to try this guy again based upon all this new evidence and this video thing and this video that just came out. This is a disgrace, Vince. This is unconscionable.
Yeah.
This is something no government should ever do to any of its citizens. And this man is not only a patriot, he's a Navy veteran, honorably discharged.
Yeah. And see, when the first came out,
he was trying to be a peacemaker. He was not an insurrectionist. He was not violent. There's no evidence whatsoever to support that contention.
Yeah.
He deserved about $10 million reparations.
I would say so.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and when I saw the footage, I was like, none of it surprised me, because I've seen quite a bit of footage before Tucker Carlson put this stuff out, and I was like, you know what, this is a sham. I already knew it, and when I saw it, I said, you know what, I'm not surprised. Because I already seen the cops, you know, waving the people to come on in and opening the doors and letting the people into the Capitol, and people were walking in the Capitol, and police weren't, there was no confrontation or anything. But, you know, but now they're trying to demonize, you know,
performance artist, Vince. He was a performance artist. This was a lark for him, for one thing. And I do believe he thought the election was foul, so he wanted to make a protest about that. But since he's a performance artist, he thought he could go in there and put on a show and get more attention. Okay, it was a lark for him.
Yeah.
Kind of, maybe he's a little bit of a goof, but who cares? He wasn't violent.
Yeah,
he was
exactly
trying to be a peacemaker, for God's sake. Man, Elon Musk is calling for his release, and I hope to God that Elon Musk kicks in a couple hundred grand for this guy to get a first-rate defense team and get him out of this federal dungeon they got him in.
Yeah. And every last one of those people on the January 6th committee, I think they should go to jail. Every last one of them. Every last one of them.
Man.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Exactly.
I'm so amused by these utterly unself-aware, demon rat, low-down, no-good rascals. I mean, did you see this woman from the Virgin Islands? I think her name is Drexler, questioning Matt Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi. Did you see her accuse them of being so-called journalists with cherry-picked information about Twitter? This woman, now look, she says they're so-called journalists. You know what she is? She's a so-called congresswoman, because she's a non-voting delegate from the Virgin Islands. Matt Taibbi is a genuine journalist. He's got academic and journalistic credentials in the form of awards and everything else. Same thing with Matt Schellenberger. But she's going to call him so-called journalist, and she's a so-called congresswoman. She can't even vote.
Yeah.
She's a delegate.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to the the director of that film of the Trayvon hoax. Now,
yeah, Joe Gilbert.
Yeah, Joe Gilbert. Now that was journalism. That's how you do your journalism. That's how you
Thank
do
you.
Your homework. Now I'm familiar with this guy because he did a couple other movies. He did one called There's No Place Like Utopia, and it was talking about the Obama presidency. And he did another one. He did another expose on Michelle Obama. And every time he did, I don't even know why this guy is not more famous than Dinesh D'Souza. Because this guy, I mean, he goes
off. He'll never get one.
I mean,
he'll
never
get a pull
aside. They should have
got one.
When he discovered that Diamond Eugene wasn't the girl that tested, I was like, dog, I would never have known.
All he had to do was go to the phone company, get 800 pages of their text messages between each other. That's what he got. He got 800 pages of their text messages. He got the cell phone tracking information to show George Zimmerman's movements that night to indicate that when the dispatcher told him, we don't need for you to follow him, and he said, okay, he turned around and went back the way he had come to meet the police at the entrance so he could show him where he last saw the guy he suspected of maybe casing a place for burglary. Trayvon Martin felt he was dissed, remember? He felt he was dissed. The creepy-ass cracker was following him. So being a young punk, high on lean, and kind of thuggish based on all his activities, a guy who was suspended from school for possessing burglary tools and stolen property taken in a burglary, he was going to show the creepy-ass cracker that you don't diss me. He turned around when he was only 200 yards from his house, which he could have got back to in about 30 seconds, but he turned back around and went after George Zimmerman. And that's when the fatal encounter ensued.
And everyone's still buying the narrative that George Zimmerman
He chased after him. He tracked him down. Yeah. And Trayvon had to defend himself.
Yeah. And people still believe that to this very day. Yes, sir.
What kind of hairstyle did Trayvon Martin have?
You know what? I'm not sure.
He had cornrows. Shawty wanna thug.
And he had a hoodie on too.
Yep.
He had some Colin Kaepernick thug cornrows.
Yep.
Shawty wanna thug like a lollipop.
Man, the boy could have gotten back home and been safe easily because George Zimmerman had lost sight of him. He didn't know where he was. And the dispatcher said, we don't need for you to follow him. And then he tells the dispatcher, okay, that means I'm not going to follow him anymore. And then he gives instructions to the dispatchers for where the police can meet him at the entrance to the community.
That's right.
I mean, he's going back to meet the cops. He's not chasing Trayvon Martin anymore. Trayvon Martin doubled back to attack him because he was still going to show this creepy cracker what's what.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember calling him creepy cracker? That was in the text that he sent to Diamond Eugene. When he sent a text message to as was revealed in all the records, because he got all the text messages between him and Trayvon that night. And Trayvon Martin was talking about the creepy cracker that was following him.
Mm-hmm. And they said that Rachel Gentile said that, you know, that she said on the phone that, oh, this man might be a child molester or something like that, you know.
Right.
Of course, we know it was a Rachel Gentile. It was
Diamond Eugene.
What's her name? Diamond Eugene, yeah. And,
I mean, Rachel Gentile was semi-literate, man. She couldn't even type text message. She said she couldn't even write cursive. She couldn't read or write cursive. And the note that was sent to her mother was written in cursive.
Yeah.
That Diamond Eugene wrote.
And the thing about it, too, I think they said that Gentile, She was 21 years old when she graduated from high school or something like that.
She's 21. She kept getting that sent back in place because, I believe the poor thing is semi-retarded. She was used by the Benjamin Crump team.
Yeah.
And that's why she put her head down. Remember when she was on the stand and they were asking her questions and she couldn't answer any of them and she just put her head in her hands and put her head down, I don't know nothing. Remember?
Yeah.
Because she didn't know anything. She wasn't a witness.
Crump said he pushed her into saying what she said. He's on that. He's on the video.
With not being disbarred, indicted, and prosecuted. Only way is that horrid woman, that Angela Corey, that they put in charge of the investigation, that Florida State's attorney, turned a blind eye to all of that misconduct by both the prosecution and by the Benjamin Crump people.
Yeah. And now, all you hear now.
Because the narrative of racism,
yep,
white supremacy, and a poor, victimized young black boy was more important than the truth and justice.
That's right. And now every time a case like this goes down, who do we hear? Ben Crump. Benjamin Crump. Benjamin Crump. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I despise these people.
He needs to be disbarred
with every fiber of my being. I despise these people.
Yes, he needs to be disbarred immediately. Because this
as far as I'm concerned, should have been prosecuted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. He's just another ambulance chaser, just like Al Sharpton and the rest. I think he's trying to get to the level of an Al Sharpton, to be honest with you.
What did George Zimmerman say to the dispatcher that night, which is not only true of Trayvon Martin, but it's true of Benjamin Crump and his ilk? They always get away.
They always get away.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was right about that.
He certainly was. Yeah. And the thing about now what I read about the Trayvon Martin case was when George Zimmerman to where he saw Trayvon Martin was, you know, he was kind of walking close to the buildings and trying to get out the rain or whatever. They said Trayvon Martin actually circled George Zimmerman's car a couple of times, looking at him in a threatening manner before he went off into the alleyway. And that's when George Zimmerman said, okay, I seen this kid, you know, going up here. And that's when they said, you don't follow him or anything. But, you know, George Zimmerman had lost sight of the boy. You know, he wasn't, and people still think he was stalking him.
He was breaking off his pursuit to go back and meet the police, tell the police where was the last point he saw them, and leave the investigation to the Sanford Police Department. That was his intention, clearly. He said
exactly so
to the dispatcher.
And he came back to his truck, and that's when he was attacked, you know.
That's when he was attacked, because circled back to attack him. Now, when I confront people with all these pretty much irrefutable facts, then they say, well, what do you expect? He felt disrespected. He had a right to go back and confront him because he didn't do nothing wrong.
Oh, boy, yeah.
But they don't even try to deny that I got all the facts on my side. So then they try to justify Trayvon Martin jumping back to attack him.
Yeah, they try to divert it to something else.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, these people, some of these people that we are hearing on the left who are just soaked, saturated in neo-Marxist class warfare, racial identity, race divisiveness, crapola. They cannot let go of their narratives. Once they get hooked on them, it's like crack with these people. They're addicted to it. They won't let them go what facts you show. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution.
What you got is some Negroes that hate white folks to the teeth. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Zimmerman's case, a white Hispanic. Then all of a sudden he turned being a black with a Peruvian, black Peruvian grandfather to being a white Hispanic.
Yeah.
It's the system.
The state of this country with these people in it is something that cannot be reconciled. The views these people have And the views that most of us have, which are based in reason, empiricism, epistemology, and the scientific method, rationalism and the rule of law and objective standards of justice cannot be reconciled. I don't know how you can do it. One or the other has got to prevail.
Exactly. You know, and you know, I talked about it last week about the cognitive dissonance, which is basically a fancy way of saying people are stupid. You know, the truth is right there in your face. It's snapping at your face, but you still want to believe the lie because, you know, you've just been conditioned. You've been conditioned that way. You know, hey, you know, whatever the story, whichever story comes out first, that's the one I'm going to believe. And when the truth is shined in your face, you're like, no, get that truth out of my face. I still want to stick to the lie. You know, that to me, that's the definition of stupidity.
Well, see, you got to remember, Vince, this is why critical race theory is so attractive as a legal principle to these people. Because critical race theory literally holds that to objectively apply the law, even if you could do it fairly, perfectly every time, which of course is impossible given human beings run the system, but let's say it could be. Yeah. According to the critical race theorists, even if you did apply the law objectively and fairly according to the way it's written, that would still be evidence of racism because all American criminal law is based in white supremacy and racism. So it is impossible to fairly apply law objectively to black people and people of color because the system itself prevents it by its very nature of existing.
Yeah.
And this is why critical race theory is attractive to these people.
Yeah. And it gives them an out every time, you know, they get backed into a corner, you know, they got to get out of jail free card or something like that. I wanted to ask you all about, you know, the other story I was talking about earlier about Colin Kaepernick throwing his adopted parents under the bus. I wanted to get you all's take on that one.
Look, you asked the question, why would he do this and why does he always adopt the black side of the identity? That is as simple a question to answer as I know of. Because there is no advantage in acknowledging your Caucasian ancestry in today's political environment. All of the advantage is to pose yourself as a victim and a victim of white supremacy and black, and the grift comes in. You said it. He's making more money off the racial industrial complex grift than he ever did as an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. So there is profit to be made from it. There is adulation to obtain from being a victim who whines and complains about the evil nature of the capitalist white supremacist system that has enriched him, enabled him to have a privileged background with his white adoptive family. So you can pretend, he can literally, for purposes, for political and ideological purposes, he can pretend that at least, probably more, but at least 50% of his racial genealogy or more being Caucasian is irrelevant. The only thing that's important is the Negroid ancestry because that's important to the grift. That is important to maintaining the racial guilt angle, and it's a form of power, empowerment and power. It is really crooked and warped.
Wow, I never heard of it.
How many whites did the zebra gang kill?
Oh,
about 15, I think.
They say it might have been as many as 73.
At least 15. But, it could have been up to 73. At least that many. And it went down a rabbit. You know why it went down a rabbit? Look how quickly Darryl Brooks and Waukesha had gone down a rabbit hole. Now, that was in 1974. Darryl Brooks did what he did in 2021. That's already down a rabbit hole. So you know something happened in 1994 that's inconvenient to the narrative is definitely not going to be remembered either.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I tell you, I never heard you I never heard anyone explain the Colin Kaepernick situation so eloquently like you did, Sarge. I have to agree with you totally on what you just said. You know, I guess it's more prosperous for them to buy into the racist narrative. And the thing that bothers me in this whole thing, though, is the ungratefulness of people. You know, they someone comes in and they're like, oh, let me give you a home, let me give you a roof over your head, food to eat, clothes, and then you know you prosper through this, you benefit through it, you go into the NFL, you almost have your team win the Super Bowl, and then you turn around and you throw these people up under the bus. That's scum.
But think about it, Vince. Think about what sort of self-disdain, if not outright self-hate, you have to do to literally deny a part of yourself as being as critical as the others are. They're all equally critical to you being, to you even existing. Now, when I had my DNA test done, I didn't celebrate the fact that I had Scottish, Welsh, Irish, German, and French ancestry. I just acknowledge it. These people,
yeah.
No matter how they got my genetic ancestry, no matter how they got my genetic line, are the reason I exist today. Now, I don't have to like it or dislike it. It just is. And knowing it made me put more things in context. It's called paradox. Now, some of the reason those people in my genetic ancestry may have been the result of rape of my Negroid ancestors from Africa, that's possible. The Caucasoids may have raped some of the Negroid women. That's a possibility. Some of it may have been from a mutually acceptable relationship, as was clearly the case with Angela Davis's Caucasian ancestry. The guy married a black woman, okay? I don't want much more commitment you can take to a woman than to marry her. So it's either or, but it doesn't matter for purposes of me being alive. It took every single one of my ancestors, whether they're white or whether they're black, it took every single one of them in my direct ancestral line to make who I am today, and that goes for you, that goes for Bianchi, that goes for everybody listening to this on the telephone. Now, you can acknowledge crimes, and you can acknowledge wrongs that were done in the past. That's entirely appropriate and right to do, because we need to know the history of this country, good and bad. Like, you need to know the bad history of your father. If your father was a bad man, then you need to know all about what he did that was bad. But you cannot deny that you exist because he did, no matter how good or bad he was.
That's right.
It's called a paradox, which adults eventually are able to reconcile. But when you're a child or when you lack understanding, you will never be able to do it. You're just going to perpetually grieve and grieve all of your life and not just let something go, because that's the way it is.
That's so true. Wait a minute. Let me see here. Oh, okay. I'm good. I just lost my train of thought there for a while. You know, I don't know why. For some reason today, it just seems like I'm not with it today. I'm kind of off track or something. I don't know. I don't know if y'all get that.
You're overwhelmed, brother. I know how the feeling is. You're just overwhelmed by all this mess going on, man. So am I. Every once in a while, I got to slap myself and say, how could this world, and particularly this country, based upon the immutable, fantastic principles on which it was founded, how could we have come to this state we're in today? How could that even be possible to be so dismally afoul of everything this country was intended to be under the rule of law, Constitution, fundamental principles of what made Western civilization so prosperous and great? Yes, I said it, and I'm going to say it again anytime I'm asked.
How many policemen was killed by the Black Panthers out in Oakland? They say at least 35.
At least in shootouts, sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but we're not supposed to pay attention to that because it was all justified because they were revolutionaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a revolutionary, it's justified. After all, didn't the founding fathers kill British soldiers? Sure they did. But they at least declared war first. freedom with a Declaration of Independence. At least they, okay, we're in a state of war. We're going to be combatants. We're going to put on uniforms. We're going to organize in a military situation and all this other stuff. And that's when you are considered a lawful combatant, when you do things like what they did during the revolution. Okay? They answered to a readily identifiable chain of command. They wore uniforms. They bear war arms openly. You know, they followed the rules of warfare, and therefore they were considered lawful combatants, even though they were working for a state that had formerly been part of the British Empire. And now they were declaring themselves a new state. That's pretty much why the Confederacy, they didn't really try anybody for treason, because of the way the Confederacy went at the war. Now, Abraham Lincoln liked to try to pretend they never really left the Union. But, look, it was kind of hard for them to do that, given the fact that they organized themselves as state assemblies with state militias that wore uniforms, that answered to a chain of command, that bore arms openly, and followed the rules of warfare. Mm-hmm. So they never did really say, okay, these guys are rebels, insurrection, unlawful combatants. We can just execute them when we catch them. No, they didn't do that. They didn't execute Confederates any more than Confederates executed the Union soldiers out of hand.
Yeah.
But the Black Panthers weren't like that. They didn't do that.
No. And, yeah, I tell you, it really amazes you how, you know, and like you said, that's probably why I feel like I'm off track today, because you got all kinds of information just coming from here, from there, from here. And you're like, man, I need to get this stuff together. I need to get it organized. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Now here comes something else and whatever. And, you know, I'm still learning new stuff about, you know, January the 6th. I'm still learning new stuff, things that are not being told, stories that are not being told, and stories that are just being withheld and whatever, and the setups. And all I know, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi, them rascals need to be put in jail.
Don't none of us know everything, man. That's why it's important for us to get together and share information with each other. Because when you share information with others based on what you know, then that helps you to learn more, and it sends you to avenues for more research. And that's the whole point of everything, man. Not that everybody's got any corner on knowledge, because the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know enough.
That's the same thing I say. I say, you know what, I'm 54 years old, and the older I've gotten, the more I realize how much I don't know, you know.
That is really the beginning of wisdom, man, when you realize that you don't know nothing, nowhere near enough about anything.
Yeah.
That's when you start.
And we don't have enough people who will really admit to that. They think that because they heard some information from some so-called reputable company or news media or whatever, they think, oh, okay, you know, they told me everything I need to know. And so that just shuts down their desire to go out and research and investigate what they've been told, you know. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to go through life like that. I don't want somebody telling me how I'm supposed to think or what I'm supposed to believe or whatever. I want to go out and investigate it myself and come to my own conclusions. I don't want folk telling me, oh, okay, you don't think like this, then something must be wrong. No, if I were a landmass, I'd probably be an island, because I'd be surrounded by water. I'd be sitting here on my side, everybody else be, you know, y'all do your little thing over there. I'm going to do my thing here, because, you know, I want to come up with my own point of view and come to my own conclusions, you know, because that's basically what you call.
Well, in order to help you come to your conclusions, man, I just put a link to the Jacob Chensley video where he's got the microphone and he's urging people to go home and obey President Trump and not make a ruckus and not damage monuments and not commit vandalism and respect the police. I put a link to it right there in the chat room. You can just paste that in your address bar and you can watch it for yourself.
Okay, well, I got a problem with my chat room today. For some reason, it's not showing up over here, but I know where I can get that link. So, you know, I appreciate that. I know where I can get that link, though.
It's on Rumble. It's at the rumble.com video. That's where you can start looking for it if you want to look for it. But it's on Rumble.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's something I didn't know about either. The bull man telling people, hey, y'all, Donald Trump is asking us to leave. Let's get out of here. You know, they don't show you that. You know, they always tell you it's an insurrection, which an insurrection is basically a countrywide version of mutiny, which that was not what was going on January the 6th. And
yeah, I really like when he said we're not Antifa. I really like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at what just happened down in Atlanta with these outsiders coming from even outside the country trying to start a riot. So I can tell you about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Really? That's another story.
They were from Canada. They were from every state in the union. Not every state, but many of the states. Two of them were residents of Georgia even, and neither of them lived in or around the Atlanta area.
Oh wow! See, yeah, they just trying to set people up and everything. So, people got their own personal agendas, and they trying to get it out there. They trying to push it to the forefront and whatever. And they want to say, yeah, they try to make it look like this is the majority that thinks like this, and it's not the majority. But it seems like that because these people are the ones that are getting their stories out more than anybody else. And that's why we think, oh, the majority thinks like this. No, it's not the majority. It really isn't. Probably not even 20% of the country thinks like that. But they get their stories out.
But would that it was their personal agenda. The problem is it's no longer a personal agenda. These people are seeking to create public policy and law. They're not leaving it personal.
Oh, yeah.
They are trying to effect a transformation of our constitutional republic from one based on the Constitution and a common law that is generated by the Constitution, which translates into statutory law, and they are trying to change all of that into an outcome-based equity situation based on intersectionalism and governmental authoritarian control. That's what they're trying to do. It ain't personal anymore. It's not their personal agenda. It is one that seeks to make us live according to the jackboot they want to put on our necks and tell us it's good for it.
Yeah. I tell you, it's crazy. I'm sitting here looking at this story. I know I got a few minutes left to go. I'm sitting here looking at this story on Gateway Pundit about six children in Philadelphia arrested in a mob attack on a woman in Philadelphia. And these children are aged 11 to 14 years old.
Wow.
And they got all, how many of them they got here? They got two, four, they got eight of them on video. They got all eight of them on, they got eight of them on video. Six of them have been arrested. Because they attacked this woman. I think it's a white woman. They attacked this white woman on the streets of Philadelphia.
Murderers who are really.
But you're not going to hear this.
Surprised by any of that? I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody got something going on in the background back there somewhere.
No, it's not me.
Racially motivated.
Oh, Bianchi, is that you back there?
I think Bianchi's got something going there.
Yeah.
All the same time. White people shot down by a black gunman for no apparent reason.
Oh, I think he's trying to play something for us.
To me? No, I was just looking at another video.
What's coming through your mic?
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something, man. It's a lot of stuff that never gets told. That's why somebody needs to make a critical and call it the real CRT history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can tell the truth about the United States as elements of some of the more sordid elements of its past, and that ought to be condemning enough. If as long as it's true, I don't care what it is, as long as it's true. But when you try to say that past is directly translatable to our present, then I'm sorry, buddy. You and me are going to have a bit of a difference.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and see, this is one of the main reasons why they want to tear down these statues of people and everything, and they want to say, you know, this person was a racist and everything. But you know, the statues are a reminder of our history, of our past. History is not going to be a pretty thing. History for the most part is pretty ugly, and we're not going to erase history by tearing down a statue or trying to ignore this and, you know, trying to blot out this part of history or anything. History is there for us to learn. You know, the people in the past, they made their mistakes so that those of us in the future, in the present and the future, won't make the same mistakes, you know. And that's the purpose that history, I think history really serves, is don't make the same mistakes that these people did in the past. But, you know, you want to get rid of certain icons of the past, and all people are going to do is repeat history all over again. It's just going to repeat the same cycle all over and over again. So, but anyway,
well, see,
thank
here's
you guys.
The thing. Ain't nobody killed but like this black male. For the number that they represent in the country, which is about, in that age group, which is probably less than 6%, 4%, Nobody has killed like this black male. Whether he's killing white or he's killing each other.
Yeah,
it's something
them. Yeah, that's sad. And that's something we need to dig real deep into, you know, and not just us collectively.
I tell you what I'm digging. I'm digging in my drawer and get out my piece. That's what I'm going to do. Y'all can dig if you want to.
Well, that's always good advice.
Y'all can dig around if you want to. See, here's the point. Black folks don't want to admit this stuff. They shame of it, and they get pissed off when some other black person say this. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you again. Nobody in the history of this country, for the portion of the number that they are, has killed like that black male.
Yeah, that's so true.
They do some savagely killing.
And, oh, boy. Mm.
I remember when I was growing up, black men were my daily role models. Black men were my daily role models. I knew some of the finest men I ever knew were black men I grew up. The fathers of my friends, my own father, my own relatives, in particular, my maternal grandfather, who was one of the greatest men I ever knew, and he grew up in an era of Jim Crow, and he was born just after... You know, when his father had been a slave, my grandfather's father was a slave. So, you know, I mean, I'm saying that, you know, something has happened in the last 40 to 50 years to the black community that has caused madness we're seeing today among young black men.
But as far as black is concerned, this is historical. Just start going back beyond these shores and look at where they come from. It's historical. Like I said before, nobody's going to get rid of somebody that's got good use. They ain't going to do it. That don't make no sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I got to go.
That's a good point, though. That's a good point. But let me, we're in the archives now. I want to thank you guys. I appreciate you all coming on.
And how's Ironside?
I hope he's an Ironside. I haven't talked to him since he came on the show last Saturday. But I'll probably give him a call when I leave the show in a few minutes. And, you know,
well,
check up on him, see how
I need to catch up with him so I can get his size for his militia uniform. But I'll talk to you guys later.
I don't know. Maybe Sarge can help us out with that, with the uniforms.
I'm working on all that now. Believe me, I'm putting together an organizational chart and TONE, Table of Organization Equipment, for a constitutional state-recognized militia that is answerable to the governor or the chief executive of the state for purposes that is necessary to the security of a free state, as it says in the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. That's the kind of militias that I'm talking about.
Oh, It sounds like, okay, I got you. Well, appreciate you coming on. Thank you, guys. Next week, God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. You guys, you know, you all keep it real, you know, stay out there, keep standing for the truth. And God willing, should see you again next Saturday. But this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You guys have a great day.